Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.
Are you going to do closing song too? So today's message, I'm going to focus on the P part, because you see, here it is. Is it on?
Testing. Oh, yes. Okay, can I take the monkey clip off then? Okay. Yeah, sometimes I feel restricted with this thing, and I was like, all right, I'll just leave it over here in the front. Is that okay? All right. So today what I want to do is I want to focus on the P part, if it's okay. Because you see, I believe that God, instead of us being passive, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Now, what happens is with that purpose also comes a responsibility. And a lot of times as Christians, we want to throw the responsibility on the church or the pastor or the elders, but we forget that you and I, we got to make the choice too. Am I correct? And so I'm going to focus on this because the message, what I enjoy doing is taking stories and applying them to today's life. And so we're going to focus on Saul. Is that okay? Because he messed up. And then I want to talk about David just at the end. And I'm going to give you a testimony of my life in between some real stories because I just want them to encourage you. Okay? So thank you for praying for us. I want to have a short little prayer. Are you ready? It's very short, about 10 seconds. Okay, Father, as we're ready to open scriptures, open our minds and our hearts, not only to listen to them, but to apply them where they need to be applied. So this way we could grow, we could be nurtured, and day by day, we could be more like you. Bless us. Thank you for your patience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Years ago, before Atlantic Union College closed, a teacher came in, and I don't like to be the one that causes problems, but this day I did. And let me share what happened. Have you ever heard of situational ethics or situational faith? Well, the teacher said, folks, you need to make a decision today. And you only have three options. And this is what they said. Imagine that your father has cancer. Well, my dad did die of cancer at that point. But that says, here's the only three options. There's a drug out there, but you can't afford it. So either you have to rob a bank, okay, or go to the pharmaceutical company and steal it from them, or let your father die. And so I raised my hand. I said, excuse me, but you forgot option number four. And they go, no, we're the teachers here. There's only three options. I said, no, this is a Christian college. There's a fourth option. So you're laughing at me, right? And I said, why do you want to box God? They go, well, because we're teaching the class. I said, but that's the point. You're teaching the class incorrectly. Right? So you're laughing at me. But they go, okay, spit it out. What is it, Carl? Option number four, you forgot God. They go, what do you mean? I said, well, if God wants me to have the money, he'll provide. Am I correct? If God wants the pharmaceutical company to give it to us for free, he could do that. Am I correct? And if the Lord wants to heal my dad or let him die, that's his choice. I says, why do we act like we're in charge of every situation? You hear what I'm saying? And so this is the problem that happened to, guess who? See, Saul, though he was a big wig, so he had 2,000 men around him, and his son, Jonathan, had 1,000 men around him. Jonathan attacked the outpost of the Philistines. So guess what Saul did? He blew the trumpets, as was told to us to do in the book of Numbers. If you're going to go to war, you blow the trumpet. So all of Israel came out, and there's King Saul. And they look. They see 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers. The Bible says there were so many Philistines that guess what it was? It was like numbers, sand on the seashore. But Samuel told Saul to wait how many days? Remember the story? 7 days. Day one goes by. Guess what happens to Saul's men? So instead of Saul encouraging his people, he's looking at the circumstances of the situation. Instead of him asking God to bless him, guess all in the back of his mind is he keeps looking at the circumstances. Hear what I'm saying? Day two goes by. The Bible says that as every day went by, guess what happened to the people? They started crossing the river. They started hiding in the caves and the thickets. In other words, they grew tails between the legs and they act like little chihuahuas being spanked verbally. They ran. Day seven comes. Let's get into the story. So if you have your Bibles or if you want to read from up here, 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting with verse 6, it says, when the men of Israel saw that the situation was what? Critical. And that the army was hard-pressed. They hid in the caves and the thickets among the rocks and the pits and cisterns. Have a question. Were they afraid?
Yes.
Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. In other words, they were really afraid. And Samuel remained at Gilgal. Does anybody know why Gilgal is important? When Joshua first crossed the Jordan, guess where he went to? This is an important significance. Saul was trying to reestablish himself. Like a Joshua, a man of God. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. And so he said, bring me the burnt offering. Now, my friends, who are the only ones that allow to touch the offering? Which tribe? And what tribe is Saul from? So what he did, was that correct or not correct? What was that? Not correct. Okay. It says, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. And just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. Isn't that funny? How that always works out. Just when we say, Lord, you've abandoned me. And then when we turn away, that's exactly when God shows up. So guess who shows up? Samuel. He's over there humming. Saul went to meet him. And then notice what he says. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time, this is your fault. He's not taking personal responsibility, huh? This is your fault. You showed up late. What's wrong with you? And if the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt, what does that say? Can you say it again? I felt what? Oh. Okay. So who's more in charge in his life? The situation or God? So he sinned. I felt compelled, so I did it. My friends, have any of you ever felt that way before? Well, you guys are quiet, and I love it. Because you guys are thinking, right? How many times we make excuses for our lack of faith? Am I right? How many times we make excuses for our lack of making decision? Am I correct? I've been there. I want to share a story about MacArthur, because this old guy, when I first became an Adventist, he helped me understand this. I grew up in the South Bronx. And in the South Bronx, let me put it this way, it's not a pretty picture. MacArthur, he was the elder, the first elder of the church. He was also the treasurer. That man had faith. And when he would finish counting the money, he would put it in the safe at the church. And then on Monday, he would take it to the bank. And then what he would do is he would walk out of the church. And in this church, it's a little different. It's kind of weird, but the church, right next to it, the road actually goes up. So he would walk up that little hill, walk straight, then go to his house every Sabbath in the afternoon. But there was one little kid that lived at the church. There was a family that was a custodian. And so guess what he would do? He would run after MacArthur all the time and just touch him. I gotcha. Well, this was a warm Sabbath. It was like September, closer to like June, July, okay, to September. And so guess what happens? MacArthur goes out of the church. He's walking to go home. His stomach is doing the Watusi dance. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so he wants to go home and eat. And he hears the footsteps, da 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 da. But this time, instead of the little boy in the back of his mind saying, I gotcha, he sees a knife coming in front of him like this. And it was a big knife. And it was one of those really shiny, chromy knives that when the sun hit the knife, it reflected on his face. And it's like, wow, I think I'm in a bad situation here. And the guy says, I want your wallet. So MacArthur has one of those micro prayers. You know what I'm talking about? He says, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, if you want me to die today, that's your choice. If you want me to live today, that's your choice. But this situation is not greater than you. Is that faith? So all of a sudden, when he sees the knife go like this, he says, okay, well, it looks like he's going to stab me. Because he's an older guy. He can't fight. And the next thing he knows, he hears the footsteps, but running. He's like, okay, what's going on? So he turns around. He sees the guy looking back, running for his life, fear in his face. So he turns around and says, I don't see anything. He goes back and he sees him one more time, and the guy keeps still running, looking back, like somebody's chasing him. He runs, he trips, the knife falls, he gets up, and he just takes off to the side of the church, you know, on a different road. So he turns around and is like, what just went on over here? He says, I don't think I'm that ugly. So he goes back to the church and he tells us a story. That's how I found out. He says, I think I know what happened. The angels of God must have appeared. And when they saw, that guy saw them, he's like, I better get out of here because I'm dead meat. Now I have a question for you. When you hear stories like that and you compare it to your own life, you're like, wow, I need that type of faith. Am I correct? Because a lot of times when situations happen, do we always put God first? I want you to think about that. Who's in charge of your life? Is it situations or is it God? Well, we have a gracious God. He gives Saul another chance. Am I correct? Amen. So he tells Saul, he says, Saul, basically you blew it the first time. Strike! You really messed up. Because you know what happens after that first battle, right? Does anybody remember? Jonathan goes and he says, God, if those people on the hill tell us to come up, that means you're going to give us victory. But if they say stay down there, it's not from you. So you know what happened? They said come up. So Jonathan went up, and all of a sudden the Philistines started running. Remember the story? So that victory was won because a person did not allow the situation to dictate that God is greater or less. He said, no, you are greater. But this is what happened. Saul gets a second chance. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Do you remember what happened? God told him to wipe out the Amalekites. I am grieved that I've made... Sorry. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and he has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled. And he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he set up a monument in his own honor, and he's turned and he's gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached them, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried the Lord's instructions. He was lying out of his teeth. But Samuel said, what is this, the beeping of the sheep in the ears, and what is the lowing of the cattle that I hear? See, because God, through Samuel, told Saul, I need you to wipe everything. In other words, like when a woman washes the dishes, squeaky clean, wipe them all out. Now that seems harsh, right? Does anybody know why God asked Saul to wipe out the Amalekites? Does anybody know? Why such a harsh judgment? Well, you got to go back and study it. What was that? But it was more than that. Okay, they practiced bestiality. They practiced a lot of things. So all the animals had to go. Okay? They also practiced incest. Yes, so there was a lot of things that God said, judgment has come and I'm using you as judgment. And because of Saul's lack of not doing the judgment, those Amalekites, which I'm going to get to, are the ones that almost killed David. And later on, over 500, closer to 600 years, one of them is the one called Haman, who is going to try to wipe out all the Israelite people. And so in other words, God already saw the future. And when he said, Saul, wipe him out, I need you to wipe him out, as harsh as that may seem. And so Saul didn't do that. And so notice, verse 14, but Samuel said, what is this, the beeping of the sheep in my ears, and what is it, the lowing of the cattle that I heard? And Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. It wasn't me, it was the soldiers. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroy the rest. Stop, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of all the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over all over Israel. Then he sent you on a mission, saying, go and destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them till you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And then notice his excuse. He says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, the king, which, my friend, was Haman 600 years later. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder. The best was what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Notice his answer. We're almost done with this part. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in you obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has rejected you as king. Ouch! And then notice what he says, my friends. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command. Finally, he admits it. And your instructions. And notice his answer. I was afraid of the men, so I gave into who? Okay, so who's in charge of your life? Is it situation or is it other people? It's their fault that I did what I did. Because of them, I'm doing what I'm doing. Is that an excuse, my friends? So today, a lot of Christians live in this passive life. They blame the situation, they blame other people, but they do actually take the responsibility. You see, when I started in the Christian walk, something happened to me that really shook me up. And then after this, we got one more portion. So I got to give you a life. I went to a school called Aviation High School. So when I graduated, it was like going to college, because it was both a Regent school, and when I finished with my A&P, which is Airframe and Power Plant, like 4 years of college. Had 11, 12 periods a day. It's a lot. But I did it, because I had to stay busy, or I'd get myself in trouble. But we had one teacher. My friends, you know what a PIB is? A PIB? Pain in. Okay, so this teacher was a factor 10. You know what that means? A royal pain in the And so he was what you call a meanie teacher. And so he would deliberately, he would call you up and announce your grade in front of everybody, from the highest to the lowest, to intimidate you. Today, you know, that wouldn't be allowed, right? So I don't know how many times I wish I had a big spitball. You know, and while he's doing that, right in his ear. But I would have been thrown out of school, right? So he was a pib galore, a royal pib. So after my first test, I studied my brains out, and this guy was a pain. So I'm like, okay, well. All of a sudden, one of my friends comes and says, guys, after school, or after class, that is. He goes, I got something for you. He says, what is it? And he starts handing these things rolled up with a little bit of a, some type of wrap. For you, for you, for you. There was three of us. And with me was four. So when I opened it up, it was the test, the next test. How do you get this? I got my connections. She's looking like me like, what? So I went home, I studied, and let me tell you, I said, you know what, I don't want to get 100 in the test. A 95 will be good. I don't want to, you know. So guess what? It was the same exact test. So I got a 95. So he starts calling out the names. So-and-so, so-and-so, Carl. And I just came up. He goes, you did well. He says, you have no idea in my mind. I was smiling with hate. I have a question. As a Christian, was that appropriate? So the second time it happens, okay, this is the bigger test. It's like a midterm. So guess what? It's a bigger role. He says, guys, now the group grew to about five. Maybe, I think it was six or seven, but I think it was closer to five. So he passes to each one. And in the back of my mind, I says, Carl, you're a Christian. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And guess what happened? My hand sinned. It wasn't me. It was my hand. Because my hand grabbed it. I said, bad hand. Naughty. What's wrong with you? Now, my mom is smart because she knew something was up. Because she knows that I enjoy studying. Something was not right. So she was praying for me. Help my son. Help his hand, right? So I decided to get 100 on this one. Is that okay? So, not okay. So all he said, he calls the name, Carl Rodriguez, got 100. He says, you did so well. Back of mine, if you only knew. But as a Christian, it was eating me inside. Killing me inside. Because I was doing the same thing Saul was doing. He was allowing situation and other people guide his life. And guess what I was doing? I was doing the same thing. And I said, I can't do this. And God convicted me. And I'll share with you the next part, but I want to finish the story. Is that okay? So I decided to not cheat anymore. I said, no, I can't do this. I'm going to let God do it. So guess what he does? The third quarter, he has another role. Guys, now our little group is growing. Okay? So he starts passing it down. And I already know my hand is sinful, right? So guess what I did? I grabbed the back of my belt buckle to make sure I don't have that problem again. And I put my other hand in my pocket, really deep in there. You know? So I don't know. I must have looked weird. Like, all right. So he starts passing his crawl. What's up? Because I didn't grab it. And I'm like, hand, don't move. Don't move. He goes, Carl, what's up? I said, no, I'm going to do it on my own. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, you mean you're not going to take it? No, I'm just going to study at my own. You know, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but I can't do this anymore. It's wrong. And this is what he said. Carl, what's wrong with you? Everybody's doing it. And now because everybody's doing it, does that make it right? Okay, so who's in charge? Is it situations? Is it people? Or is it God? You hear what I'm saying, church? And so I walked away, and this is what he said. Well, here's the test anyway, if you change your mind. He threw it at me. Okay? It went plunk, 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 plunk. And when I walked away, they had to pick it up because the teacher would have found it. Okay? To this day, I don't know how we got all the tests, but that's beyond the point. So I go home, I study, right? In the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, if I get a 60 or 70, because this teacher, like I said, he was a royal what? P-I-B galore. Okay? So I studied. And when he calls my name, he says, Carl, come up. You know, 100. I was like. Yeah, you're right. It's like I started doing the hallelujah. Okay, so I start walking up, and he says, "You did good." And I said, "You have no idea." All right. But I learned the valuable lesson, my friends. Am I going to allow people to tell me how to live my moral life? Am I going to allow the situation dictate should I trust God or not? You hear what I'm saying, folks? And a lot of us, like Saul, we make excuses for it. Or we rationalize it, and we accept that it's acceptable. My question is it really? Now, David understood both, because notice what happens to David. Saul finds out that he's going to be king. David, that is. And so he hunts David down. Remember the story? So David runs to the land of the Philistines. Remember that story? So he hides in a little town called Ziklag. But now the Philistines are going to war against Saul. So guess who has to go? David. So he plays it off. So David is over there with his 600 men. And the Philistines said, "Wait a minute, something's not right with this picture." Because you know where David's men were at? In the back. And you know where Saul was, right? In the front. So the other Philistine king says, hey, something's not right with this picture. Remember, this is the guy that they sing. Saul kills his thousands, but David is what? I said, "You don't see something funny over here? We like the meatballs between the sandwich." "No, send David back." So David plays it off. They said, "No, you got to go back. The other kings, you know, sorry. During the war, you might turn, and you know, but you've been a good servant. Go back." "But why?" David plays it off. "No, you got to go back. But don't you love me? Go back." "Okay." So he goes back. And when he goes to Ziklag, guess who attacked his little village? The Amalekites. Remember we heard about those people before? So they take his wives, his plunder. They burn the little village. They take everything. And now this is a story. Is the situation bad? Yes or no? But who's in charge? When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud. Now, ladies, I want you to understand something. When you cry, it's a different cry than when men cry. Okay? You know, you cry and it's cute. We cry, it's not cute. It's ugly. Okay, am I right? It's ugly. It's like, that's how guys cry? Hey, you sound like a beaver or a gopher or something that got squished. Now, you laugh, but it's true. But it's deep, and it's loud, and it's like, it's not pretty. So his men wept aloud until what? They had no strength left to weep. Is that a really bad cry? I mean, they got dehydrated. So David's two wives have been captured. And this is what happens. Now, the situation is bad, right? David was greatly distressed because now the men were talking of stoning him. So I have a question for you. Is the situation bad? His own men, is he going to follow them? Or is he going to trust in God? Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But notice the answer. But David found strength in where? So the situation is bad. Your peer pressure is bad. Where's the answer? David knew. He was not going to repeat what Saul did. But David found strength. Strength in the Lord his God. That God is our God. So guess what happens? David calls the priest. The priest says, "Go." So David goes with the 600 men. He's going so fast. He finds an Egyptian. Remember the story? The guy, they left him, the Amalekites left him to die. He said, the Egyptian said, "If you don't kill me or you don't send me back to your master, I'll tell you where they're at. It's a deal." And they pursued him, but they were so fast that 200 men stood by the plunder. Only 400 men went and attacked the Amalekites. And guess who won? So when the situation looks bad, the peer pressure looks bad, where can we find strength? So I want to end with one story that happened to me. I'm studying to be a pastor, right? Now, for those that don't know a little bit about Spanish, guys, the way we raised, especially from a traditional Spaniard home, if the guy doesn't provide for his family, he's not considered a man. Okay, am I right? So he honor gets, he's like, oh yeah, he's right. You considered a what? Okay, and then among the family, don't be coming asking me for money. You better do what you got to do first. I mean, I'm serious. It's very serious. You like that? Should have known my father then. Okay. He's like, hey, one time I forgot to get up to give a lady my seat. My dad hit me in the back of the head. He says, I didn't raise you to be disrespectful like that. You get up. Okay, that was my dad. And so what happened was, I'm an AUC. And one thing my dad always says, if you have bills, you pay them. So guess what happened? I got my check. I paid all the bills. And I don't know, for some reason, this time around, I don't know why, because I always usually give my tithe back. Okay, so remember, I don't pay tithe. I give or I return. Yeah, I don't pay. I got to pay God? Come on. So guess what? For some reason, I don't know what it was. I paid all the bills, put it in the mail. The lady came. And I look into my checkbook, and I realize I didn't give tithe yet. I'm like, holy cow. Because I was looking at the cupboards, and guess what? They were pretty empty. So I had a choice, feed the wife or give to the church. And guess, in the back of my mind, who came? My dad, his voice. Okay. Son, take care of your family. So I call some of the pastors, and they go, no, Carl, God understands. You just do it. Don't worry about it. But something in me was saying, who's in charge? Is it the situation? Is it friends? Or is it who? Is it God? So we go to church the next day. This was on a Friday. And my wife is like, what's up with you? Because, man, it was bothering me. I wrote the tithe check. Had it right over here. Not in this suit jacket, okay? That time I was a little skinnier. So I had the tithe check. And I sat almost where she's at. Because I remember it was actually closer to where you're at. I didn't hear one word the pastor said. You know why? Because guess what I kept thinking? What kind of husband you are? You can't provide for your home. Everything that you could imagine. You're such a lousy husband. You can't even do your numbers right. You can't even do the checkbook right. What's wrong with you, Carl? Everything that you could imagine hit me. The offering plate went by. And I don't know, I must have stood right there for 30 seconds. Because I'm sorry, I just stared at it like. And my wife went like this. You know about, you know, being a cheerful giver? The Bible says, I was not a cheerful giver. I got to be honest. I was a doubtful giver. And that offering plate went, and you know what? When I went to the front, and then the deacons would take it to the back in that church because we had a safe. I wanted to get up and go to them. I think I made a mistake. But my wife hit me again. What's wrong with you today? To this day, don't even ask me one word that the pastor said because I don't remember. Because I was praying, Lord, such a lousy husband. Help me. So my wife, she says, okay. I says, honey, you take the car. I'm going to walk home. What? I says, I got to walk home. That's me and God, we have a little chat to do. So on the way home, guess what I was saying? Lord, forgive me for being such a lousy husband. Forgive me for not doing, you know, giving the tithe first. And I just talked to God. The situation was bad because you don't have no idea. The cupboards were almost empty. My friend's influence was bad because guess what? They were also pastors. And it's like, so instead of building my faith, they were giving me what? Excuses. So I remember before I left, I took a roll of toilet paper from the bathroom because I didn't have any more, you know, the big ones, you know, like this. So you know what happens when you start crying and toilet paper gets in your eyelids? I had these rolls all over my eyelids. It was bad. Okay, it was like I had dandruff coming out of my eyelids. I was like, you're laughing, but I could go back. And so all of a sudden, I'm going home, and I finally see the house. You know, that was renting. It was the college campus there in AUC. And I'm, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I don't know how you're going to do this, but you're going to have to walk you know, help my build my faith. Because I gotta be honest, Lord, I'm so used to doing things on my own that it's hard for me to let go and just let you do your stuff. Have you ever felt that way before? For guys, you know where I'm coming from? We do that more. Am I correct, guys? And so all of a sudden, as I see this box, and it says toilet tissue. So I thought my friends were playing a joke on me because they saw the toilet tissue, because I have friends like that. And it was right in front of the door. And then when I got closer, it was actually a little postcard. And it says, Carl, this is for you. I don't know why we felt impressed. And so we actually put this for you this morning. Wow, I got good friends, toilet paper, you know? When I opened it up, it was all full of food. Rice, cans, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the thing was so big, I couldn't lift it myself. I had to take it out in pieces. And then he wrote his name, Kevin. Now, I want you to understand something before I close here. Kevin was a homosexual. He was the first best man in my wedding. And he went to school knowing that everybody's going to make fun of him. But yes, he wanted to give his heart to God. And sometimes we're not patient with people. You know, hear what I'm saying? And this guy is the one that drops that box. Said, the Lord impressed me to give this to you. So I have a question for you, and I really want you to think about this. Who's in charge of your life? Is it situations, is it people, or is it God? And here's my prayer for you guys, and also for myself. God is going to allow us to be in situations because he wants us to build our faith. And I'm going to talk about this afternoon. And the sermon is called True Blue, so I'm not going to talk more. But my point is this, as we close, where are you in your spiritual walk? Is it time that we take personal responsibility? And say, Lord, I'm not going to allow situations or people tell me how to live my life with you. From now on, I'm going to allow you to tell me how to live my life with you. Does that make sense? Let us pray. Father, thank you again that you give us stories in the Bible like Saul and David. That gives us the answers that when we give everything to you, when we ask for your strength, you will bless us. Lord, sometimes it's hard, and I know, like in my life, Lord, we look at the situations and we say, where are you? Like this thing that's happening in Iraq with ISIS, and we start doubting. Yet over and over and over, Lord, one way or the other, you speak through us, through nature, through people, through sermons, through your word. And we need to always find strength in you. You will give us the answers, no matter how many people may disappoint us, no matter how bad the situation may be. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.